And as you're seated, let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. And this passage, we're going to look at the first four verses, have to do with the instructions that Paul gives to children and parents. When these letters would come, I say these letters that Paul wrote to the different churches. They didn't take the letter and mimeograph it and hand it out to everybody. They didn't have the capability of doing that. And so often when the letter would come, everybody would gather together. And this letter would be written to all of the members of the churches that Paul was writing to. And as he writes to Ephesians, he has this section in the letter where he directly, addresses children. He says, children, listen up. I don't know if they'd heard the whole letter, but certainly as they were addressed, probably the moms and dads said, stop, we'll go get them, and they were brought into the assembly room where the letter was being read. And so Paul writes, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. I think many would agree with this statement. Whether you know the Lord, whether you don't know the Lord, the right thing is for parents to tell the kids what to do, and the kids need to take that instruction and they need to obey it. There's something that sociologists and other social critics call the natural law. And this is certainly a part of natural law, that children are to obey their parents. Almost every culture, almost every society believes this to some extent or another, but, it varies greatly. And the standards of obedience, well, they're all over the place in the world today. But this phrase, this is right, also appeals to divine law. In fact, that is the point of emphasis in this passage. And we're told in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's a few things to notice about these verses. It doesn't just say obey your parents. It does say that, but it says to honor them. And I believe that honoring is a lifelong commitment. Now, this morning, we're going to be specifically talking about the child as he is being raised in the home. Some of us, our kids are long gone. And, I'm hoping that, now that I get older, our children are continuing to acknowledge that we're not just to obey them as we are taught to obey them. And, we're taught in many ways, and sometimes we're taught in such a way that we never forget that we're to obey our children because of a punishment that was given when we didn't obey. But, to honor our father and mother, this is a lifelong commitment. There's a time when you are under the authority as they bring you up. But what happens when you leave home? Well, I believe we are to continue to honor them. You continue to show them respect and love. You take care of them as long as they need. And we seek to honor them, of course, by the way we live. They still watch. They still, many of them care. But what if you do not do a good job in bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Or I should say, what if your parents didn't do a good job as you were brought up? You still honor them. And you do that in the hope that one day they will come to the Lord. Now, here's a question for you as we get into this passage. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are under grace. You have been accepted by the Lord. You might have thought, well, I accepted the Lord, but long before you showed any interest in the Lord. God was drawing you to himself. And so we're under grace. We're under grace. Now, here's the question. It says, when a child is told to honor and obey their father and mother, and they're told to do that, are you putting them under the law? What do you think? Well, you know, yes. You are putting them under the law. If you're a Christian, if you are someone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you're putting them under the law. But you're doing that with the hope and prayer that they will eventually receive the Lord and commit their life to him. And in doing so, they will then have the Holy Spirit to empower them and to be obedient to the will of the Lord. And what's his will? His will, I mean, generally speaking, it's to obey him in all things. And everything that we do, we are to obey the Lord. God blesses obedience to our parents. And, you know, when we disobey the Lord, when we disobey our parents, it is actually rebellion to God himself. Now, I want to go back to verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents. What does it say? In the Lord. I think the word Lord there is there for several reasons. First, that the children would be reminded that he or she is being raised in a Christian family where God is being honored, and the way we honor him is to be obedient to him in all things. In a Christian family, everyone, dad, mom, brothers and sisters, all obey the Lord in all things. You might remember a verse back in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 21, it says this. It says, therefore, just as the church is, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now, what does that look like? It's a beautiful harmony where the wife submits to the husband as unto Christ. The husband loves his wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and the children obey the Lord. So that's one reason why the Lord is very prominent there. For you parents, obey the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There is another reason. You know, in this day and age, in this area of Long Beach, there are children raised in a home where the mom is a believer but the husband isn't. Or perhaps neither parent knows the Lord. And the child is being told to obey the parent or parents in a manner that is not right. I mean, they are actually, being asked, maybe they're not asked, but they break the commandments of the Lord, and they have the Lord, they have their parents' tacit blessing in doing that. You know, I remember many years ago, we had just started release time. Well, Sally and I had just begun managing that program, and you know, it was going well, and we were excited. And they had the Rodney King riots. I don't know if many of you remember the Rodney King riots, but those were pretty much in the Los Angeles area. But part of that violence spilled over into Long Beach, and there was a store. It wasn't really very far from here that was burned to the ground, and there were other stores that were broken into. And so there was some of that rioting and mayhem that took place right here in Long Beach. And there was a store not far from here where the whole family was just going in and helping themselves. And there were kids that were told by their, you know, by their guardians, by their mom and dad, come on, let's help ourselves to this stuff. And these kids said, no, we can't. And it turned out that just several weeks before, they had been in a release time class, and that release time teacher had gone over the lesson of the Ten Commandments. And this gal went over it in such a way that God anointed her words, and these kids were... they really took it to heart, man. You shall not steal. And they told their parents, no, we can't take groceries from that store because the Bible says thou shalt not steal. And so obey our parents, but obey them in the Lord. By the way, the word obey comes from two words. Did you know that? It comes from two words. The words are under and listen. So it literally means to listen under. And I think all of us who are parents know that listening is important. Have you ever heard a parent say, can you remember your parents saying to you, listen to me? Why do you say it? It's because if you aren't listening, you won't obey. The idea is to listen so that we might do it. Now, notice the promise that accompanies this commandment of the Lord. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, this is a general promise. I know that there have been cases where children have grown up and they have, you know, gone off to fight for their country. And they've been killed in battle. And, you know, so there are some exceptions to this. But what this is saying is that if you obey the Lord, you're going to... I say if you obey your parents in the Lord, you're going to escape a whole lot of sin. And I'll tell you something. Sin brings danger. And, you know, you expose yourself to sin. You expose yourself to danger. And if you do it enough, it can take your life. This whole thing is backed up by a number of scriptures in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Proverbs. For example, Proverbs 4:10 says, listen, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 30:17, this is a rough one, the eye that mocks a father that scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by vultures. So teach your children to honor and obey the Lord by honoring their mom and dad. God will bless. Now, in verse 4, Paul says this, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, Colossians 3:12, Paul wrote this in the same time period. He was in jail when he was in prison when he wrote both of these letters. In 3:21, it says, this is Proverbs 3:21, it says, fathers, do not provoke your child, lest they become discouraged. So, dads, if you are not sensitive, we can provoke our children so that they become discouraged and angry. You know, I remember... when our kids were really small, Sally had been teaching school, but she quit to stay home and raise the kids. I had a really stressful management job, and the stress seemed to reach its apex as I was coming home. I had a company car, a company vehicle, and I had a two-way radio in it, and I just heard all of this traffic concerning the things that were happening. I managed a family-owned bus company, And it just, so often I'd drive home and I'd hear all of these conversations. Sometimes I was in the conversation, and so many things were happening. And I would pull into our driveway at home. And often I would walk into the house, and the kids were anxious to see me. And I was thinking about all of the things that were going on at work, the things that I was hearing on the two-way radio. And Sally encouraged me. She said, "You know, honey, don't come in the house until you've put these things out of your mind." And I thought that's very good advice. And I would pull into the driveway, and I would turn everything off, including the radio, and I would just sit there. And and there were times where I would actually pray, and I'd say, "Now, Lord, help me to be what my kids need me to be. Help me to get my mind." And you know, I'm sure there are a lot of guys like this. It's hard to disengage from what you're involved with at work and focus on the things that are so important. And sometimes I'd sit out in my vehicle for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes until I finally came to that point where I could go in and be a cheerful minister to my kids and bring them up in the way they needed to be brought up. So important. We need to get our attention off the things of work and onto the kids. And I needed to focus on bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of examples in the Bible where fathers failed to discipline their children, particularly their sons. And often their failures reached beyond the family and affected the entire nation. You might remember a high priest, his name was Eli. Eli raised Samuel, but he had two sons, and these two sons were completely out of control, and he failed to discipline his sons, and the results were tragic. David and Absalom, again, David took some shortcuts and tried to get Absalom to be a good son, and it didn't work. So we need to be careful that we don't provoke our children. Dads, that is so important. How do we provoke our children? Well, we can provoke them by criticizing them and never giving them praise. I remember I was at a soccer game last year, and my granddaughter was playing soccer, and she was only 9 or 10 years old. And the girls were out there having a great time, but there was one father, and he had his soccer outfit on, his soccer sweats, and he was sort of being the assistant coach. I don't think the coach really needed him or wanted him, but he really began to pick on his daughter. And, I was standing just maybe 5 or 10 yards away from him. He never once complimented his daughter, but every little, not only mistake, but just failures in having the right strategy. The little girl's only 9 years old, and the whole duration of the soccer game, he gave her a hard time. And finally, toward the end of the game, she just she collapsed in tears. She was so upset. We don't provoke our children. We provoke our children. We can provoke our children by telling them one thing and doing another. We can provoke our children by being inconsistent and unfair in discipline, by playing favorites. We can make promises and not keep them. We can treat things that for that child is a big deal. It's not a big deal to us, but it's a big deal to them. And by downplaying or even ignoring the situation, we harm that child. I'll tell you, those of you that are raising your children or beginning to raise the children, I will tell you this. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit to show the kind of sensitivity that our kids need. It says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. That word bring them up is an interesting word because over in 5:29, Ephesians 5:29, the chapter before, the word is translated nourisheth. So we nourish our children not just by providing food, clothing, and shelter. We need to nourish our children emotionally and spiritually. And then it says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This word, nurture, translated, is translated chastening in Hebrews 12. Discipline is fundamental. It is a principle and an evidence of love. The Bible says in Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But we've got to do that right. We can't discipline in anger. We've got to give consistent and loving discipline. And that consistent and loving discipline gives assurance to a child. You know, that child may not like it, when you discipline them, but if you discipline them in love, they'll remember. They'll remember. They'll not only remember the love that you showed, but they'll remember the lesson that they learned. And then we need to give our children good counsel. We need to make sure that they understand the situation. You know, a lot of times they don't understand. And we don't take the time to really explain what's going on to them. Sometimes they see something as a blessing, and we know it's not a blessing. We know that this is a danger sign. And sometimes they just don't understand. But we are obligated as Christian parents to do everything that we can to not cave in to the way the world is going, but to go against the flow and explain to kids why what they're doing is unprofitable. It's wrong. It's going to get them in trouble. If not with the world, they'll have to endure discipline from the Lord. So it's very important that we train our children and that we share with them the things that will help them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I look back on my own upraising, and I was very privileged to be raised by parents who loved the Lord. They weren't perfect parents, and I think none of us see ourselves as perfect parents, but it's very important that we not only acknowledge the Lord, but we teach our kids to follow him and to make the Lord of their lives. You know, we can talk about the Lord, but it's very important that kids know the Lord, understand the things of the Lord, and then live out those things. And, you know, we live in a time where many parents, they don't know the instruction of Scripture, but we do. And it's important that we raise our kids in the Lord. Now, just by way of conclusion, this church often attract kids. You know, we have cycles, and but we often attract kids that come from non-Christian homes, or they come from a home where one parent knows the Lord and the other doesn't. And, you know, I encourage all of you to, you know, as we're out in the courtyard, as we're, you know, coming into the church, introduce yourself to the kids. Get to know the kids. And as you know them, you'll have those opportunities at least to model what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe the Lord will give you an opportunity to share with him. But, you know, I remind all of you that we're one big family in the Lord. And that family extends beyond this sanctuary into the rooms of our Sunday school. You know, we need to occasionally have those times where we're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we stand as adults and model for the kids what it means to follow the Lord and encourage them to do so. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, so many of us have had different experiences as we were raised. Some of us didn't have the privilege of having a father and a mother who knew you. But Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would help us to reveal to the kids that it's so important that they obey you, even at an early age. And that, Lord, as they obey you, they would grow and understand that they need to choose a life partner that will partner with them in raising children who love you and who, Lord, are willing to live a life that is given to us in the Word of God. So, Lord, would you help us? We want to be the people you've called us to be. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.